One of the musicals nominated for a 2019 Tony Award is the revival of Oklahoma. Can't make it to Broadway? You can see Oklahoma at Musical Theater Heritage at Kansas City's Crown Center playing through June 30th. Tim Scott is the director of Oklahoma. Tim, thank you so much for visiting with me today.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
The original production of Oklahoma opened on Broadway in 1943. What made it special then, and what makes it special today?
I think part of the reason it was so compelling in 1943 is because the United States was in the middle of World War II, and I think that it was just such an appealing show for Americans to see in a time where they weren't very certain about the American way of life and the preservation of the American way of life. Now, that, of course, is beyond the musical theater conventions that the show introduced, but I think that it came to play in New York at a time where just people wanted to believe there was a bright golden haze on the meadow. They wanted to believe that we know we belong to the land, and the land we belong to is grand. So I think that it had, you know, a lot of what Rocky IV, the movie, had going for it in the middle of the Cold War. It had that kind of buy-in early on. I think why it's so compelling today is, you know, from my vantage point, it's really kind of evolved into a museum piece over the years, with all of the high school productions and community theater productions, and just kind of a Thomas Hart Benton version of Guys and Dolls, for lack of a better word, with the overblown dialects and costumes. But I think that, you know, what the revival has exposed to the world, which has always been there, is that, you know, Hammerstein was really quite brilliant in adapting Lynn Riggs' play and really leaving a lot of that dark underbelly and substance there to be mined if you were interested in looking for it. If you wanted it to be hokey and campy and just fun entertainment, it was definitely there. But if you wanted to see the themes of, you know, misogyny is clearly there, but also there's a lot of bullying sentiment in there, and there's a lot of, you know, feminine empowerment that's there ready for you. It's all right there. So I think that if you can kind of scrub away what you may think Oklahoma is and experience it with virgin eyes, I think it's very topical today.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I remember seeing Oklahoma for the first time, probably back when I was in high school, and being surprised that it was much darker than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think that the darkness usually comes from a kind of an unfair, melodramatic portrayal of the character of Judd. And, you know, I've personally, as an actor, have gone in for the role of Judd several times. And I, as an actor, you're always looking for a unique point of view. And so, you know, traditionally, I've hated a production of Oklahoma that I've seen. So that's why I thought I was a good candidate to direct it. You know, I've hated Cats, which is why I wanted to direct it last year. And our production was very unique. But, you know, I really look at Judd as a different character. You know, he's just not like everyone else. I mean, we all have people in our lives or in our circles or our societies that they just approach life differently. And it doesn't mean that they're bad people. They're just not like us. And I think especially in 1943, anybody that wasn't like us was automatically painted, you know, a communist or a Nazi or anything like that. And I think that we still see these themes today. Anybody that's not like me, you know, must be out to get America, must be out to get us. And so I think those characters kind of live in Judd and Allie Hackam, the immigrant in the play as well. So we really work to just present them honestly and authentically and try to be as ambiguous as we can and let the audience decide for themselves what side to take.
You've mentioned yourself how many times Oklahoma is put on by local theaters, community theaters, high school productions. Your production here at Musical Theater Heritage has a really fresh take. Talk to me about your orchestration.
Yeah, you know, we try to do that as much as we can. We did that with Cats because, of course, when you think about Cats, it's all these 80s synthesizers, and we wanted to scrub that away to make it feel more immediate and more relatable. So my goal as the artistic director of MTH is to try to tell relatable stories in a way that makes them immediate and present, and the characters seem more like you and me than they might be if it was set in a different time. So with Oklahoma, you know, the 30-piece orchestra in the original Broadway production sounded like a 1943 Broadway show. It was magnificent. It certainly didn't sound like a Midwestern play. It certainly didn't sound like music that was made on the back porch or front yard where all of the play takes place. So what we did was, you know, we weren't allowed to reorchestrate it like the revival got permission to add all these mandolins and harmonicas and accordions. We asked, but they gave us a hard no. But what we are allowed to do is take the original orchestration, it's 28 pieces, and pull from that orchestration the instrumentation that we feel is more representative of the working class characters in the play. So we stuck with upright piano, upright bass, banjo, guitar, fiddle, percussion, and cello. We thought it was important to add the cello so we could retain some of those beautiful, lush Richard Rodgers harmonies that are in some of the music. But just that alone, I mean, the play takes place 75% of it in the front yard or the backyard. And so we feel like this kind of backyard music, porch music, whatever you want to call it, is really more akin to what the working class characters in the play would have representing themselves. And I think that you find that it just adds a layer of authenticity to it that the 30-piece orchestration in our 7-row theater would ring hollow.
I've seen Oklahoma a dozen times. Convince me to see this production.
I think that if you see our production of Oklahoma, you will almost certainly think that I changed words because of the way that we're presenting this love triangle, which is what we've looked at it as, this love triangle between Curly, Laurie, and Judd. Many productions will just have Judd portrayed as a, you know, kind of a slovenly, drunk loser, and I don't see him like that. I didn't change any of the text. It's in there. He goes in and asks Laurie to the dance, and she says yes. That's a given. He talks about, you know, her taking care of him in the smokehouse when he was sick and rubbing her hands through her hair. That's all in there. But oftentimes it's presented in a very creepy way. But, you know, we're not interested in forcing a perspective on you. We're just presenting it in a way that you can decide for yourself. So I think that if you think you know Oklahoma, when you see this show, you'll be like, I had no idea that scenario and that outcome was even a thing. You know, most productions of Oklahoma, it's no secret that Judd dies at the end. They cart Judd's body off so they can have a happy ending. Well, that's just not real. That would never happen. So we play out the rest of the play with Judd dead on stage. And so they have this trial, which I find so immediate and so topical today, where they just they run right over due process. And whoever the majority is kind of wins. And I find that just so timely in many ways. And just to have that all presented and played out on stage when, you know, the victim, the dead man, is just there on stage, it's pretty powerful. It's pretty haunting. And I think that it really makes you think about the world we live in today.
Oklahoma is playing here at the Crown Center through June 30th. Tim Scott is the artistic director. Thank you so much for visiting with me.
Yeah, thank you so much.